Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 9. That was the basis for our remarks on a recent program, and we were talking about the essentials of that salvation. Or the end of our faith, the desired conclusion of life, is for right-thinking people to live with the Lord forever. For we can't stay here. This life is very, very temporary. It will not endure. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Hebrews 9 at verse 27. Most people think, or seemingly entertain the idea, that this life is just all of it, and at death it's all over it. Friend, that is not the case. You are an immortal spirit. You and I will live forever. Do you remember the scene of the judgment in Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31? It terminates in verse 46. And it says, "These shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The word eternal describes the duration of both places. And sometimes one will say, now, where do you suppose he will spend eternity? Friend, the word spend is a misnomer. You don't spend eternity. You will endure forever. You see, as we've often explained, you're made in the image and the likeness of God. Genesis 1, verse 27. Now, God, of course, doesn't have flesh and bone, as the Lord explained in verse 39, Luke chapter 24. So, we don't look like God. No, no. We're made in His image and His likeness in that we are immortal spirits. Well, but we are possessed of free moral agency. That is, the ability to make choices. That's why there were two trees in the Garden of Eden, one to life, one to death. And there is a choice that man must make today, heaven or hell. Now, God wants you to be saved. He's done everything within His power to provide for my redemption. But there's one thing He cannot do for me. That's make my decisions. You see, that's the way I'm created in His image and in His likeness. I must decide. As He said, and we've quoted very often, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I place before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose." Man must make the choice. But you know, when I think about the end of my faith being the salvation of my soul, that brings other things to mind. We pointed up that there are certain essentials to man's salvation. Number one was a sympathizing, understanding Savior. You see, He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, and I remember why He came. Hebrews 2, verse 14. "Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, He also Himself partook of the same, that through death He might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Oh, friends, I don't have to worry about physical death anymore, because I realize that Jesus Christ gave up equality with the Father, took upon Himself flesh and blood, suffered as I suffer, yet without sin, and He bore my sins upon His innocent soul and died. You see, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Yeah, but I'm the sinner, right? I have but one life. That's correct. Then I can't make atonement for my soul. I'm hopelessly undone. That's true. Had it not been for Jesus Christ, God with us, willing to sacrifice His innocent life to redeem my soul, I'd be hopelessly undone. Him who knew no sin, He made to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 21. So we have a sympathizing Savior. We have one that understands our limitations and our weaknesses. I think of the Apostle Peter. You remember under the circumstances at the time, in the very presence of his enemies, Peter denied that he knew Christ, knew He was the Son of God, had acknowledged that fact, and yet at Christ's crucifixion, warming himself at the enemy's fire, impact that kind of influence. And he denied the Lord three times. You know, you would think, well, yeah, the Lord will have nothing more to do with him. He gave Peter the opportunity to confess him just as many times as he denied him. You can read about that in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. The Lord understands your limitations. He knows my weaknesses. He is a sympathizing, understanding Savior. But there's another essential to salvation. We alluded to this. That is the proclamation, the preaching, the making known the scheme of redemption, the plan of salvation. How does man understand about this sympathizing, understanding Savior? Well, Paul made that clear, didn't he? Sure he did. We noted that in Romans chapter 10. Yeah, no distinction between Jew and Greek. Same Lord, Lord of all, rich toward all who call upon him. Oh, for whosoever, whether it's a Jew or a Greek, it doesn't matter. To call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he raised this question. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Well, friend, that would be impossible. Well, how shall they believe on him of whom they've not heard? Couldn't happen. You couldn't believe in something you never heard of. That'd be out of the question. Well, then how shall they hear without a preacher? What is he saying? Well, you remember the Lord chose his apostles, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Thomas, and Judas. You understand that? Of course, they're named right there in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And he trained these men for maybe 3.5 years. And then after his resurrection, he commissioned them. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's Mark 16 at verse 15. What will be the result of such preaching? Well, now, what was it Paul said there in Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 17? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? That would be impossible. So the apostles were commissioned to do what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The result? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. The only possibility of my faith in Jesus Christ that leads to the salvation of my immortal soul is the hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need to understand about the love of God, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made to redeem my soul. And then when I learn to love him, obedience to his commands, oh, joy. Not just a simple procedure. It is a genuine delight. It is a privilege vouchsafed ungodly sinners such as I to submit my life in humble obedience to his will. So this gospel had to be preached. You see, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 at verse 17. So then, essential to the salvation of the souls of men is the proclamation, the teaching of the gospel of Christ. Now, it doesn't have to be done from a pulpit. It can be done from an easy chair. In the homes of precious souls. And that is indeed the privilege of the people of God. Sharing the good news of human redemption. And the circumstances, the surroundings, that's not really important. Just so we teach, we preach. That is, we simply give the Lord's word as it is written. Peter said, you remember, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. And I recall Paul's charge to Timothy, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent. Urgent? Yeah, because men are passing rapidly every minute. Hundreds go out of this world unprepared to meet God. It is an urgent matter. These people are going to live forever. Where, friends? Without the cleansing efficacy of the shed blood of the Son of God. They're going to spend eternity, and that word spend is a misnomer, as we said, in a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Forever. There is no urgency like the necessity for the preparation of the salvation of your soul. Receiving the end of your faith. I need to hear the good news of human redemption. I need to give my life in humble obedience to the Lord's will. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is imperative that God's Word be preached. No, no, no. Political speeches won't get the job done. False teaching, isn't that what Paul said? The time will come when men will not endure sound, that is, healthful, saving doctrine. Oh, but having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside unto fables. Oh, be thou faithful in all things. Suffer hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill thy ministry. It's no wonder that the people of God are persecuted, suffer affliction. Satan is opposed to the truth that makes men free. And so he's going to do everything within his power to confuse the minds of men, and he has turned the world against spiritual principle. You see, most people are simply physical. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2 at verse 14. That's why we have a tremendous privilege sharing the good news, just speaking where the Bible speaks, being silent where the Bible is silent, just telling people what the Lord has to say. And you know, there are false teachers today in great number that are misleading and deceiving the minds of men. And someone says, well, now, preacher, we can't help that. I mean, we're just being misled. Woo, 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 woo. Acts 17, verse 11, nobility. Oh, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. No, no, I'm not going to be excused in the day of judgment, simply because I have been deceived by some man, because there's no basis for that kind of deception. No, John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4 at verse 1. How do I try them? Just check the Lord's will. Yeah, but somebody says, now I can't understand. Written down between the 6th and 8th grade. Delete the proper names, Old and New Testaments. Length of the average words, a little less than 5 letters. Friend, our problem is not a lack of comprehension. Our problem is a lack of interest. We're not concerned. We don't have faith. That's why most people are lost, and that's tragic. Beyond description, that is a tragedy. But an essential to salvation is not only an understanding, sympathetic Savior, but a proclamation of the good news made available by His death, burial, and resurrection. But there's another essential to salvation, and that's human activity. Have you thought about that? You know, there are people, of course, who say, well, now, salvation is altogether by grace. Friend, Titus 2, verse 11. The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Isn't that wonderful? Right. Somebody said, well, that's it. That's what I'm saying. The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Read on. The context is always important. The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us. Oh, wait. The grace of God provides for my salvation through a system of instruction. Why, certainly. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Genesis 6, verse 8. What did grace do? Well, he said, make thee an ark. Make it out of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. Pitch it within and without with pitch. Three stories? Yeah, one door on the side thereof. One window to a cubit upward shalt thou finish it. 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. What is this grace? Unmerited favor, enabling Noah to escape death in the flood. What did Noah do? Oh, Genesis 6, verse 22, the last verse. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. What does God call that? Hebrews chapter 11, at verse 7. God calls that faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, said, that's non-essential, irrelevant, unimportant, I'm not going... What? No, that's not what he said. Listen. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark. What did Noah do? He did what God said. Oh, that's called faith. Right. So then human activity is involved? Right. That passage in Ephesians 2, what is it? Oh, 8 and 9? Didn't Paul say, for by grace have you been saved through faith? Indeed. Grace is God's part, unmerited favor. You see, God doesn't have faith. God is omniscient. Faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 1. God doesn't have that. No. He knows all things. And he's omnipresent, everywhere, all of the time. Ah. So then, grace is God's part. Right. For by grace have you been saved through faith. Wait a minute. Faith is man's part. Right. What does faith do? Now, there are a lot of people today who say, well, now, you know, faith does nothing. Faith just believes that... what'd you do, Noah? Saved his house by faith. How'd he do that? He just did what God said, verse 22, Genesis chapter 6. Oh, then faith complies with the instruction given by the grace of God. Right. What was that, Titus 2, 11 and 12? The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works, through verse 14. Wait. The grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men through a system of instruction. Right. What do you do with instruction? You follow it. Just follow instructions and do what he said. Well, somebody says, salvation is by faith. That's it. You've got it. That's the teaching of this book. Salvation is by faith. Well, somebody says, that means all you have to do is just believe. You couldn't read that in poor Richard's almanac. Friend, that has nothing to do with Scripture at all. The concept of salvation by anything only is totally false. Salvation is not by God only, it's not by Christ only, not by faith only, not by works only. No, salvation is by faith. Oh, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, what does the Word of God say? Didn't we notice that a moment ago? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? Oh, Jesus said to his apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, they're going to hear that preaching. The result, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, someone said, what in the world does baptism have to do with salvation? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does faith make itself manifest? Just doing what the Lord said. Yeah, but the point, preacher, I'm making is that, I mean, there's no connection between being dipped in water and the remission of sins. That's the point God made. That's what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, beginning. Or the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved is the power of God. For it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning will I bring to naught. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For seeing that in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom knew not God, listen, it was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. That's verse 21. We start at verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, are you saying here, Paul, that through foolish preaching? No. Through that which an unbelieving man in the world considers to be foolishness, it pleased God to save those who believe it. That's why he chose the instructions that he gave. If you read right on, We would understand that, seeing the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Oh, but we preach Christ crucified, unto Jews a stumbling block, unto Gentiles foolishness. Oh, but unto those who are called, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Oh, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Ah, consider your calling, brethren. Not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. For God chose the foolish things to confound the wise. God chose the weak things to bring to naught the things that are strong. God chose the base things, the things that are despised, yea, and the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory before God, through verse 29. Friend, that's illustrated throughout the Word of God. Oh, no question. And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Romans 15, verse 4. You're familiar with that. You remember Joshua chapter 6. Pitched their tents at what would be called Gilgal a little later. First city they coveted was the high-walled, well-fortified, heavily armed city of Jericho. Oh, God told Joshua chapter 6, see, I've given the city into thy hand this day. Yeah. Amen. I've given the city into thy... Oh, he said, form your men in this order, fighting men, seven priests blowing ram's horns, the Ark of the Covenant, the nucleus bringing up the rear. Now, he said in that order, march them around the city one time each day for 6 days. On the seventh day, march them around seven times. Oh, let the priests blow long on the ram's horns, and the people give a great shout, and the walls will fall down flat. Someone says, who ever heard of taking a city like that? I never had till I read Joshua chapter 6. What happened? Oh, they did the marching in the proper order, and the priest blew the ram's horns, and the people shouted, and the walls fell down flat, and they took that high-walled, fortified, armed city without losing a single man. How did they do that? That's called faith. What is it? Hebrews 11, verse 30? Oh, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been compassed about for 7 days. I say, that's called faith. Faith, oh, that does what God said. The grace of God provided for Joshua to conquer the city of Jericho. What did he do? He just did what God said. Yeah, but somebody says, that's foolish. Oh, the wisdom of God. The Word of God. Oh, it's foolishness to whom? Those who perish. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. You see, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. And if you would receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, then believe it. Oh, when you believe it, you just do what it said. That's called faith. You remember verse 29 of Hebrews 11. By faith... the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea on dry land. They did right. Passed through the Red Sea on dry land. You remember when they were leaving the land of Egypt, the bondage of Egypt? God divided the waters of the Red Sea. Water congealed as a wall on either side. Ooh, isn't that something? Somebody says, hallelujah, we're saved. No, salvation's on the distant shore. Who'll be first? Step into that gap between the... What's holding that water up? Nothing. Stick your finger in, don't leave a hole. Slap it and it's all over you. I mean, that's water. Faith. Step down in there, walk across on the dry land with that water congealed on either side. Friend, that takes faith. That is, they simply did what God said. And they received the blessing. So then, there must be human activity. I remember that in Acts chapter 2. Peter preached the death, burial, resurrection, the ascension and coronation of Jesus Christ on David's throne at God's right hand, reigning over spiritual Israel. His Jewish auditors were cut to the heart. They said in verse 37, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. Oh, verse 41 says, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Well, somebody says, why be baptized? To be saved. Mark 16 at verse 16. That washes away your sins. Acts 22 at verse 16. Oh, that puts you into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Oh, salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 at verse 10. Friends, end of your faith, salvation of your souls.